herzlich willkommen hier bei den Mindful Sessions. Wie schön, dass du wieder am Start bist. Und heute habe ich einen ganz besonderen Gast, einen internationalen Gast. Deswegen wird diese Folge heute auf Englisch sein. Und zu Gast ist heute Swami Purma Chaitanya. A warm welcome, Swami. It's an honor to have you here on the show.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm happy to be here.
Swami, you were born in the Netherlands. You're a son of an Indian mother, and I think your dad is rooted in the Netherlands. And while I was reading about you, I found the information that spirituality has always been a part of your upbringing. Could you take us on your way, how you became the person you are today, and who is the person you are today?
Well, it's not an easy question, but yes, I think from an early age, what you can call spirituality was a part of my upbringing, in the sense that both my parents grew up in the Netherlands. They studied psychology, and during their university studies, a friend of theirs introduced them to meditation. So they did a meditation course, and they found it very interesting. They were also exploring, so you can say spiritually inclined. And so they started meditating regularly. They became vegetarian even at that point. And then a few years later, when I was born, and later my brother was born, they decided to stick to that. So we were raised as vegetarian, which was quite unique in those days. It was not very common. Of course, now it's much more common. But in those days, not many people were familiar with it as much here. And they used to meditate sometimes. So even though we were young and they would usually do it privately, we would get to know, and then we are also curious. So I remember sometimes on a Sunday, they would say, okay, we will meditate together. And then me and my brother would sit. We got our own little meditation cushion that my mom made. And then he said, okay, for 20 minutes or something like that, we'll sit, and then you keep your eyes closed and keep your body still and try not to think of anything. So it was exciting. It was interesting. But then, of course, as kids, small children, after some time you get bored. So I'll open one eye and I'll see if my brother is still sitting quietly, and then he'll see, and then we'll start, moving a little, and then my dad will be like, and then again, we'll sit straight. So it, in a very playful way, and that was only for some time. After that, everybody got busy. Of course, we grew up. But I think that that curiosity remains, that, what is meditation really, and what is it about? And I remember my mom had a small Buddha statue that was a gift of, I think, maybe one of her grandmothers. So seeing things like that. And my father went to India and Nepal for some time at some point to write a book. So he used to send us some pictures and tell us about, some of these traditions there. So that curiosity about the Eastern traditions was there from a very young age. And I started practicing different martial arts from the East also. Sometimes you watch movies like Karate Kid, or where you have an old master from the East who has all this wisdom on how to manage your mind, how to be successful, how to conquer your emotions and deal with difficult situations. So that really appealed to me. This idea that you have someone who has achieved a certain level of peace and wisdom, insight about life also, and about how to manage your mind, how to realize your full potential. And I guess at some point I was knowingly or unknowingly looking for something like that. So I read a few books here and there, but something authentic. And then at the age of 16, I was very fortunate. I met my teacher, my spiritual master, Gurudev Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. He's the founder of the Art of Living movement. He came to Amsterdam, out of all places. He gave a public talk there. It was a big program. And my mother came to know about this. And then she asked me and my brother that, I heard there's a spiritual master coming from India. He's going to give a public discourse on spirituality and human values. Would you like to go? And for me, I was like, yes, of course, because I'd never met a spiritual master from India. It sounded very exotic. And I wanted to see, what is it like? You know, what is someone like that like? So we went there, and that made a very deep impression. I remember, not just because he really matched the idea I had of a spiritual master. He had long hair, a beard, you know, white robes. So he was a perfect example. But in that public talk, I remember he spoke in a very accessible language. It was very simple, very down to earth, very practical. Everybody could follow it, but at the same time, it wasn't superficial. You know, he was able to communicate very profound wisdom in an easy and understandable way. So for me, that was something very precious, very unique. You know, because someone may have a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, or a lot of wisdom, but then to be able to communicate it and to also share it with people is another skill, you know. And he also conducted a guided meditation, which for me, you know, it felt like just 2-3 minutes, but 20 minutes went by like that. So for me, that was another sign that, oh, you know, I have now found someone who has really mastered this, who really knows these things, and at the same time, who is available, you know, who is sharing this. And shortly after, I started doing a few of the programs that the organization, The Art of Living, was offering in the Netherlands also. So I did a course on meditation. I learned more about breathing techniques, pranayama, something about some of the wisdom from these ancient scriptures on yoga and meditation. And I found it very interesting. So even though in my martial arts, we had a little bit of breathing and meditation, it was very limited. So now I thought, okay, I want to explore this more. And I started experimenting with it, practicing, see what it does for me. And I became more and more enthusiastic. And then along the way, I decided I would like to become a trainer also for some of these programs, because I saw the benefits and I was keen to share it with others. Plus, I found it a very meaningful way to use my time, because from a young age, I also had this strong desire to do something with my life that could help other people, to be of service. And I wasn't exactly sure how to do it, but I was looking for something. So some of my friends may have had other aspirations where they said, oh, I would like to become whatever, a famous hockey player, or I want to become a successful DJ, or I had all kinds of friends. But I was looking for something. I said, okay, I'm anyway happy. I feel content. So I don't need much for myself, but what could I do that could help people? And of course, everybody has their own skills. So I was looking for something that I could contribute. And then I found this. I thought, oh, this is a beautiful thing to do, you know, helping people to deal with their stress, to deal with the challenges in their life, to, you know, regain that inner peace. And after I completed my university studies, and you know, I had to take a decision. I was already working. I had a job also to pay for my studies. But then I thought, okay, this is not so fulfilling. What do I want to do with my life now? So I went to India for 1 or 2 years. I went to the headquarters of the Art of Living there because I thought, okay, on one hand, they have a lot of service projects also, humanitarian projects. So I thought I can volunteer, spend 1 year there to volunteer for some of these projects and see what it is like to help people full time, not just a little bit in the weekends. And at the same time, I wanted to go deeper into this knowledge of meditation, of mantras, of Ayurveda, all these Vedic wisdom, this ancient wisdom. And to make a long story short, after that 1 year, I felt that it is so fulfilling, it's so enriching, and there is so much to do and to contribute that I was happy to continue like that. So I stayed for a few more years, and then along the way, my teacher, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, he gave me the opportunity also to be initiated as one of his swamis. A swami is a monk of the Vedic tradition, the Indian tradition. And I didn't know that was a possibility because he only had a few of those kind of disciples and they were all Indian and a little bit older. But I was very grateful. And because I was anyway living a simple life there, I was happy to live like that. I gratefully took that opportunity. So that is also where the name comes from, no? Because before I was Alexander. It's much easier for people here to pronounce, of course. But then it is an ancient practice that when someone dedicates their life to, because it's a lifelong commitment. So you dedicate your life to serve, to be useful to other people, to make the world a little better. And at the same time, that personal quest for self-realization. And when a master finds that they are ready for that, because it's also not something you can just decide by yourself, you need someone from that tradition who is willing to initiate you. So then it is a practice that you also get a new name. So Swami is actually a title. And then the name is Purna Chaitanya. And that is the name he gave me. So it's a Sanskrit name, but it has a very beautiful meaning. Because Purna means that which is complete or which is full. And Chaitanya means consciousness. So it's one whose consciousness has fully blossomed or has the quality of fullness, which is beautiful.
Thank you. Very beautiful. And in the beginning, you said something about, you know, being in service to people, helping them and teaching them what helped you. And this is a question now, because I realize for a lot of people, life seems to be too much. People feel exhausted by all the things happening in the world, and there are a lot of things going on.
Yes.
And all the things around them in their private life and all the things inside of them. And yeah, I think life sometimes seems tough. And there's an underlying exhaustion for a lot of people, especially in these times. And how would you say, can someone start like to release this tension? I know it's meditation. For me, it's meditation, but like from your point of view, like to the listeners now, if someone seems like, okay, there's so much in the world, there's war, there is like inequality, there is climate change, and there is my family at home who I have to organize, and I'm tired, and there's my boss at work giving me pressure, and then I'm lying in bed and thinking, oh, actually, I feel unfulfilled. So I'm putting pressure on myself. So if someone now listening is feeling like that, what's your suggestion? Where can we start?
Well, Sarah, there are a few things. Of course, because we spoke about it earlier briefly, in my book also, I've taken people on a journey, because you have to start somewhere. You cannot directly go and sit and meditate. At least most people, that's very difficult. And I think the first step is, on one hand, starting to understand a little better how our mind works, how to manage it, because very often, we feel something is too much to handle, because we don't see the bigger perspective, the bigger picture. You know, if you see stress, because all are basically different types of stress, but you could bring stress down to feeling that it's too much to handle, whatever it may be. You know, when you have less energy or less time, and you have more to do, then you get stressed. But if you have enough time, enough energy, or enough money, or whatever you need, then it's not stressful. And many times in life, we feel, oh, this, I cannot handle this, because we get stuck with the small little things and forget that we are so much bigger. You know, so right now, it is a difficult time for many people. And yet, for many, or maybe all, it's not the first time that you faced something difficult. So, for example, if you look back and you say, oh, yes, a few years ago, maybe you had a terrible breakup in your relationship, or you lost someone that was very dear to you, or suddenly you had to change your job, or you became very sick and you recovered, whatever it may be. But we've all gone through periods in life where at that point it may have seemed unsurmountable, or you were really not sure how are you going to manage, or will you be okay? But then as time went by, you found your center again, or life went on. And then sometimes looking back, you may even say, oh, you know, in some ways it was also a blessing, because either it has given you more depth, it has made you appreciate life more, or it has taught you something about yourself, or made you aware of your priorities. Just like I think for many, the pandemic, apart from all the difficult things it brought with it, was also really a time for reflection, where most of us, because we keep running, suddenly we could not, we had to stop. And then you start thinking, you pause and you say, okay, but where am I really running? Or where is it going? Or now that I have a choice, do I want to continue like that? Or maybe is something else more important? And we've seen that so many people may have changed their jobs, or they may have changed some other things in their life, because they said, but you know, life is very short. I have been postponing so many things that are really important for me, thinking that, oh, later I will get time, but what if I don't? And they started living life much more fully, much more consciously. And I think right now also we see that there are so many things around us that are changing very quickly, or that are very uncertain. You know, like you said, there is a war going on, and it is affecting people all over the world. I know people in Africa who are really struggling with shortages of food because of this conflict. We know in Europe we have the energy prices going up so much. We have all kinds of other challenges. Globally, the financial world is not so secure. So we see that many of those things that we maybe took for granted earlier, or that we tend to rely on for our sense of stability, our sense of security, and our peace of mind, they have started shaking, or they started falling away. And the same happened during the pandemic. Many people who maybe rely on their social life, their friends or family, you know, at least in the weekend to blow off some steam, suddenly we're not allowed to meet them. No, it's very difficult. People who may have had a job for so many years and thought they will grow old working for this one company, maybe suddenly had to be let off. They had to, be fired. Or some people who had their own business may have found a lot of difficulties. I have friends who had to close down their business because they could not run it. So things that we may have never expected suddenly changed. And then you see that if those are things that knowingly or unknowingly you rely on for your sense of peace, your sense of comfort or stability, then you get shaken. And that can be very difficult. But in one way, it is also life teaching you a very valuable lesson, or rather reminding you that the nature of this world is changed. It will keep changing. Sometimes it may be faster, sometimes it may be slower, but everything changes, including us. Our body will change. It will become older. Our relationships may change, the people around us. Even if you look at your own life, your own mind, your preferences have changed so many times. The things that you really like, the things that you aspire to in life. You know, in high school, your favorite music was maybe very different than it is now, you know, or what you wanted to do with your life, or what was your definition of success may have changed so many times. So if you know that all of this is changing, then why get upset when it changes? And then you say, no, but you know, it's not that I get upset, but that is what is giving me comfort or security or stability. And that is where, of course, in the ancient scriptures of yoga also, they say that is why, if you're a wise person, if you're intelligent, you look for that one thing that doesn't change. Because if that becomes your support, then even if everything else changes, you will not be shaken. And that is something that I also was looking for at a younger age, like I said, because it's the same theme in even in the movies, no? Whether you see Star Wars or Karate Kid, or it's that finding that inner strength, that stability, where you say, okay, even if everything else is changing, I'm unshaken. And that is something that in the ancient times, the yogis were also striving for. And there is this interesting story, of course, I mentioned it in my book as well, where they say that in the life of Alexander the Great, when he crossed the Himalayas and he came to India, he came across a yogi. And his teacher in Greece had actually asked him that, can you bring back, you know, Aristotle, can you bring back a yogi? Because they were known for their wisdom and their esoteric knowledge, even in those days. So when he heard there's a famous yogi staying in a jungle nearby, when he came through a village, he asked one of his generals to bring that yogi to him. And when the general went there, the yogi was not bothered. And when he threatened him that, you know, otherwise, you know, Alexander the Great, he may cut off your head if you don't listen. And he was not bothered. He said, listen, anyway, this body is going to die one day. And I know I am not just the body. So whenever the day may come that this will drop, I know I will get another body. And what I truly am is my spirit, is my consciousness. And that is something that your great Alexander cannot do anything about. So you go about your business, I will go about mine. Of course, I've made the story a little shorter now, but that inner strength where you realize that, oh, there is a part of me that has remained the same throughout, that is untouched, that is like a witness, that is ever pure, that is always joyful, that is whose nature is peace. If you can consciously experience that, that can give you such inner strength. And I think especially in these times, it is for many people, you can say, a reminder that, listen, my dear, this world can be very nice. It can be very difficult also. But don't forget, all this is changing. So also take some time to look inward. Find that which doesn't change. And it has also been my experience that when you consciously connect to that, that can give you so much more perspective. Like I said, it can allow you to take that step back and see, oh yes, I have been through so much, but I'm still me. I'm still the same. There is something in me that has remained unchanged, untouched. And like you very well said, and of course, meditation is that process of consciously taking some time to abide in that part of you that is beyond all these changes. And that can give tremendous strength. And that is one of the things that inspired me to also share this with people. And it has only become more relevant in the recent years.
Thank you. Thank you for your insights. And as you said, like, it helps us to go through difficult times, but also, I just had that thought, it allows us also to enjoy the good times without the fear, oh man, I'm gonna lose the good times, or I'm gonna lose this relationship. Because if you surrender to the one thing that's stable, which is inside, which you can't lose, then you can be in the moment, right? You can enjoy the moment. Because I have the feeling a lot of us are so in love with the idea of joy that we have a fear that once it is in our life, that we can lose it. What is it? Ah, now I'm happy, but maybe I will lose it and tomorrow I'm not happy anymore. So we just forget to enjoy the joy because of the fear of losing it again.
Very beautifully said. Yeah. And this is true. It is so true, you know, that exactly like you said, we've become so, we're so caught up with so many things that we don't realize that most of the time life is beautiful. You know, most of the people in the world are wonderful people. You know, it's not all bad or everything is going wrong, but that rat race we get caught up in, and all these impressions don't allow us to also enjoy the beautiful things that are already there. And it has been my experience that once you get rid of so much of these impressions, the stress, the insecurities, all this craving, aversion, and you start experiencing more and more that, oh, that real peace is already there inside, then instead of doing so many things as a pursuit of happiness, where you think, oh, this is going to make me happy in the future, you can actually do all those things as an expression of happiness, where you are already happy and you're doing those things happily. And then exactly like you said, it's not that you keep postponing your own happiness, thinking, oh yeah, when I get this, then I'll be happy. Or if I keep this, then I'll be more happy. But you can actually enjoy, no? You enjoy the journey as well as the destination. And then life becomes so much more beautiful. You know, it becomes, the small joys in life can become so big. Otherwise, we feel that we have to climb the highest mountain and then we would have achieved something. Who knows whether you ever get time or whether you'll succeed. And we want so many things, so we multitask and then we start multitasking even our happiness, our family time, our relaxation, where you say, okay, I'm having family dinner, but at the same time checking my emails and it doesn't work.
This is a very good one. Multitasking. I think we've never been in a time where we've been more onto multitasking than ever. Yeah. But actually, multitasking for me is something which is so contrary to a fulfilled life, because it's like you are it's a setup to fail, right? To be unhappy because you're running all the time and you never really experience the moment or whatever you are doing.
Yeah.
And
it's true. You're neither here nor there.
Yeah. Do you have a simple, I know it's like, I also hate this question if people ask me the question, but I still, I think, because, you know, the span is so limited. Sure. Do you have like a tip for people to focus? Because we are living in a time where everything is multitasking, even like people expect you to multitask. Yeah. So what would you say can someone do to bring them back into the moment, to experience the moment? Because we are doing so much things to live, so many things to live a fulfilled life. You know, we do our exercise, we listen to inspiring things, we do a job which should make us happy, we have a social life, and all this is good, but how often do we really experience the things we are doing? How often we are really there? And do you have a tip like to really experience life? Doesn't matter the small things, the big things, but to really be present and to experience all these things we are doing in a way to feel, okay, I'm alive. That's why I'm doing all this stuff.
Well, like you said, it's a tricky question because, as you know, I wrote a whole book about it. And if people say, okay, can you just summarize it in one line or in 1 minute? But if I could do that, then I would not have written a whole book. I would have just given one line. But one thing that I think we tend to forget or we don't realize is that if you want to be really dynamic, if you want to have a lot of energy, if you want to do a lot of work, you need to have deep rest. If you deep rest, if you're well rested, that is when you can do a lot. In the same way, many times in today's world, passion is encouraged so much. We say you should be passionate, you should have goals, dreams, targets. Now, you know, we have your vision boards and manifesting things, and we keep saying, wait, what do you want? You should want a lot of things, want bigger things. But if only passion is encouraged without having a moment of dispassion, then that passion in turn will either lead to depression or to aggression. And this is what we see. If there's too much of passion, too many desires, too many things you want, then either at some point you become depressed because you cannot have it all the time. Even if you have it, you cannot enjoy everything because our senses have a limitation to enjoy. You know, you can watch a nice movie for 1 or 2 hours. After 10 hours, you would say, no, switch it off. It's too much. Same with food. How much can you eat? And when your stomach is full, you cannot eat more. You know? Same with music. You cannot listen 24/7. So there is a limit to what we can enjoy. And if that desire to enjoy is too much or you want too many things, either you'll get depressed or you'll become aggressive. That's what you see, where people get frustrated, they become violent. So the other side of the coin, that dispassion is very essential. So if you're saying, okay, I want to do so many things, I do so many things, that's why I'm multitasking, or I have this whole list of goals or bucket list, whatever, then also you need to have some time where you say, I don't want anything. No? That is dispassion, where you say, okay, at least for a few moments. Doesn't mean you have to run away to the mountains and live in a cave for the rest of your life. No, but every day, taking some time, whether it is 5 or 10 minutes, or at least for some time, where you consciously sit and you really feel, okay, for the next few minutes, I don't want anything. I want nothing. I am nothing. Where you're able to drop the whole world, all your desires, all your to-do lists, and say, I don't want anything. And that takes a little bit practice. It's a skill, but you will find that the more you're able to do that, it is like a soothing balm for your mind and your heart. No, it gives so much of relief. And to some extent, we do this because if you don't drop the world and all your desires and disappointments, at least for some time, you cannot fall asleep at night. And that is also exactly why many people nowadays have so much of difficulty sleeping, falling asleep or having deep sleep, because they have so many desires, so many things going through their head. They're stressed about this, they're worried about that, that even though they are so tired, they're not able to fall asleep. And as a child, we knew this. If you see a small baby or a small young child, when they go to sleep, they drop everything. The whole world stops to exist. They're not thinking, oh, why that person said this to me, or what is going to happen tomorrow. No, they switch off and they're gone. And they wake up in the morning and they are so fresh. They are so energetic, enthusiastic, because they really dropped everything. They had such deep, good rest. And that is why they have so much of enthusiasm. And in the same way, meditation is actually that process. You know, if you really want to meditate for some time, you have to drop the whole world. So true meditation is almost impossible without dispassion. You need it. And the more we cultivate this quality, you will find your meditation becomes better, your sleep will become much better. And just like if you're well rested, you can work out better in the gym because you have more energy. In the same way, if we take a moment every day to really drop the whole world, let go of everything, almost as if you have died. Like in my book, that one exercise is also there, that for a moment really feeling as if everything is gone. And then you feel you have so much more energy and enthusiasm and that focus to go after those things that are important for you.
Thank you. And you talked about, or you mentioned your book a few times. It's called, I'm going to say the German title, because it's in German now, also available. Yes. Wende deinen Blick nach innen. That's it. And yeah, I love it. I love it. And it's like you said, it's a journey. You take us on a journey because the way is is not so easy. It is easy, but actually not so easy. So you take the reader on the path, on your path, and on his or her path. Is there anything else you want to say about the book? Is there anything you want us to know about the book?
Well, I think, as you said, it's a journey. So I would say it is for both the people who may be very new to meditation, to understanding how the mind works, how to manage it, how to regain your inner peace. But at the same time, it's also, like you said, a little bit my journey, because I have shared many of the realizations and the precious insights or learnings that I have gained over the last 20 years of learning from my teacher, conducting these programs all over the world. So I found that even people who may be meditating for many years or have been doing yoga or breathing techniques, they still find a lot of useful tips there. You know, some it may be small things on, okay, how can I deepen my practice, or how can I gain a little bit more understanding? So I've kept it very accessible. You know, it's not complicated language. It has nice stories. So it's not a difficult read. But at the same time, through the exercises also, step by step, it allows people to explore meditation more and what we spoke about, you know, connect to that inner part of us that is unchanging, that can really give us that inner strength. And maybe what may be interesting for some is that I've also, you know, I have a whole chapter on the difference between mindfulness and meditation, for example, because we see that nowadays, mindfulness has become also very, very well known, very popular. Sometimes people even prefer the word mindfulness over meditation, because sometimes still they feel, oh, meditation sounds a little more airy-fairy, mindfulness is more scientific, or it is less religious, which of course is just a concept. But I've seen, especially with companies, you know, corporates, they prefer mindfulness. But then technically, there are two different things. And mindfulness has many benefits. But when you're consciously mindful of something, I mean, you have a beautiful podcast that is also all about being more aware. And that has many benefits. But at the same time, when we are consciously being mindful of something, we are still doing something. We are still engaging the mind. It's much better than multitasking. It's much better than being scattered. So it has many, many benefits. But then meditation is one step further, where we're able to let go, where the mind is able to dissolve, to really let go. And that is where the deep rest happens. And that has, again, a whole different set of benefits. So sometimes people may be very sincere in their practice and they feel, oh, yes, I've been meditating for a long time. But they may still be practicing mindfulness, or like, no, there are visualizations, there are all kinds of techniques, which are beautiful. It has many benefits, but it would be a shame if we miss out on that one more step, because then a whole new dimension opens up. And when we go beyond the mind, when it dissolves, that is also where we're able to let go a lot of the unnecessary impressions, emotions, because we carry a lot of impressions with us. But then sometimes you need to have that deep rest for your nervous system to be able to release it. And that is something I have seen. And then you start feeling much more free, you know, you have much more clarity of mind. And then even if the world is a mess, because let's face it, right now it's a difficult time, it gives you that few moments of really coming home, of recharging. And then when you come out again, it's not a burden. It's not that, oh, life is a struggle. It becomes more like an adventure. Because you have that energy, you have that peace, you have all the things you need in your little backpack. So then you go into the world, and instead of feeling bogged down or feeling stressed, you can say, okay, let me see, what can I do? You know, how can I make my life better? How can I help some of the people around me? And that's very precious. And I think that is also something that people need to be reminded of sometimes, that investing that little time in yourself, like you're having this podcast, you're putting in effort to share these beautiful things with people. But people taking the time to do that, where you say, okay, yes, let me have a moment where I learn more about me or I become a better person. Don't think it's a selfish thing, because when you are more peaceful, when you are kinder, when you are more happy or enthusiastic or loving or empathic to the people and the world around you, that is a blessing for everybody. Then your very presence can make a positive difference. Just like a person who is very stressed can create stress wherever they go in other people, someone who is very peaceful, who is very loving, can also spread that. You know? And I've seen that so many times, whether it's in the supermarket, that one smile from the heart to the person who is, you know, checking your groceries, or just that few words of a thank you to someone who, whatever, you know, opens a door for you, or who is taking out your garbage, whatever. You can see that whole person's face lights up, because most of the people they meet during the day are so stressed. They're focused on themselves. They're worried about so many things. So don't underestimate that little time that you invest in yourself, your meditation, your mindfulness, your moment of reflection and exploring this magical world of spirituality can really make a difference also to the people around.
Word. Thank you so much, Swami Purna Chaitanya. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. And just thank you.
It was lovely being with you. And maybe, I don't know if it's appropriate, but because these are such challenging times, I could chant a small mantra also. A few verses from the Vedas with that intention that there may be more peace inside of us and also in the world around us. It may be a nice moment for people to take those positive vibrations with them into their day. I'll chant one mantra from these ancient Vedic scriptures, because mantras is also something close to my heart. I've had a chance to learn many of these things, and it's very beautiful. Our sounds also have a beautiful impact on our body and mind. So I would love to share that with you as well.
Thank you.
Om Sam Samityu Vasevra Shannakne Vishvaan Yaryaa Ilaspade Samithya Sesano Vasunya Bhara Sangachatvam Sambadatvam Sambhomana Aam Sijanatam Deva Bhaganyatha Purve E Sanjanana Upasate Samano Mantras Samitis Samani Samanam Manasahachit Tame esha samanam mantram abhimantrayeva samanena vohavisha ajuhomi samaniva aku utis samana hridayani vaha Samanamastu vo mano yatha avasu sahasati. Om dhyau shantir antarikshagum shantif prithivi shantirapas shantirau shadayas shantihi. Vanaspataya shantir vishve deva shantir brahma shanti sarvagas shanti shantireva shanti sama shantiredhi om shanti shanti shantihi.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Und I'm gonna switch to German. Mit diesem Mantra entlassen wir euch und wünschen dir jetzt noch einen wunderschönen Tag, Abend, wo auch immer du gerade bist. Ciao.